Good afternoon and welcome to all of our municipalities that have joined today. We had 69 registrations for this afternoon's workshop, and I would just like to extend a warm welcome to all of the municipalities, but acknowledge specifically the efforts of those members of the Broward County City Managers Association, SRTAC Subcommittee, and all the work that the BCCMA SRTAC Subcommittee did to get us to this point. At this time, I'd just like to take a moment to introduce the team that is here with me today. These are the folks here in MAP Administration that work on contract administration for municipal project agreements. And I'm going to start with Mr. Mayorga.
Good afternoon, everybody. Alexander Mayorga, Program Project Coordinator, and I am Municipal Liaison for Municipalities in the South of the County.
Good afternoon, everyone. Margaret Daly-Johns, and I am the Finance Manager for the Mobility Advancement Program. Welcome, everyone.
Good afternoon, everyone. Lena Silva, Senior Contract Grant Administrator, and I get to work with the north end of the county.
Hello, everyone. My name is Nick DiGelinardo. I am a contract grant administrator, and I work more on the finance side, reviewing QFRs and financial documents.
And for those of you who may not know me, I'm Gretchen Cassini, and I'm the Mobility Advancement Program Administrator and also the contract administrator for all of the municipal grants. So I just wanted to give an overview of the presentation today. It should take about 30 minutes. And I wanted to mention, for those of you who might be trying to ask questions in the chat feature is disabled. Questions and answers will happen at the very end, but if for some reason you get pulled away and you aren't able to participate until the very end, you can feel free to submit your question to me by email. This presentation is being recorded, and we expect to be posting the presentation materials as well as the video to our website very soon. Everyone who's participated in any of the workshops either yesterday or today will receive a link to the location on our website so that you can use this as a reference tool as we move forward into implementing the Third Amendment. Please note that everyone will be muted until we get to the Q&A portion of the workshop. The goal of the Third Amendment was to address areas of the Second Amendment that were not operating optimally for the parties. We were looking for opportunities to create more flexibility. So one, the intent of the Third Amendment is to create longevity so that we don't have to go back and amend our interlocal agreement on a regular basis. But there are some other objectives as well that I just wanted to highlight for you. We've expanded and clarified definitions of eligible uses to include on-demand transit, which we also refer to as microtransit, subject to certain criteria and limitations. We've established what has become a very popular aspect of the Third Amendment, which is the grant match program, and we're going to spend some time talking about that today. The Third Amendment allows certain types of decorative and functional public art to be part of a SRTAX-funded municipal project. It also permits parking structures subject to certain criteria and limitations that are outlined in Section 2.7. It eliminates, well, it will eliminate, subject to an ordinance change, the current prohibition on using SRTAX funding rehabilitation and maintenance dollars to maintain capital assets and facilities built with the SRTAX, while also maintaining transparency and accountability. So let's start with some of the definitions in the Third Amendment that are a little bit different, new, revised, looking at Article 1, Section 1.2. So there are terms like annual true-up, which didn't exist in the Second Amendment, also references to things like centerline miles, which are related to the formula distribution that we'll talk about a little bit later. As I mentioned, we also have on-demand transportation services, which is new, and an expanded definition of road. That expanded definition of road rolls into some of the updates to the terminology around eligibility that's in Article 2 of the Third Amendment. So you'll see that standalone sidewalks, bike paths, and greenways are explicitly defined as eligible. As I mentioned earlier, parking, certain types of parking projects, as well as the collection of parking fees beyond required levels of operation and maintenance, on-demand transportation services, and as I mentioned, the prohibitions on utilizing surtax R&M funding to maintain a facility asset that was paid for with the surtax, as well as some definitions of safety assets, which are defined in section 2.9. While the minimum annual guarantee remains 10% of the projected revenues, it now includes the community shuttle capital and operational costs, municipal capital projects, municipal R&M projects, as well as funding available for microtransit. There's a provision in the Third Amendment that details how the county will true up the funds that are allocated to the cities versus the revenues that are actually received. And that bottom bullet there relates to that annual true-up process. So for those of you that have been involved in the program from the very beginning, you'll remember cycle one was in fiscal year 2020. Seems like a long time ago. The Third Amendment talks about the treatment of cycle one municipal projects in articles 3, 4, section 4.4. And cycle one projects included those projects that were MCPs, that's municipal capital projects, recommended by the MPO under their surtax services agreement, as well as rehabilitation and maintenance projects. Remaining cycle one projects that are not under a surtax funding agreement may, not must, be terminated by MAP administration, that's us, within 90 days after the effective date. Each and any municipality that has a project that's subject to potential cancellation would receive written notice at least 30 days in advance and have the opportunity to appeal that recommendation. Currently, that review would be done by the county administrator. Once the ordinance changes go into effect, which is expected later this year, that review and decision would be by the oversight board, but in either case, that review decision is final. Cycle one projects that have already been completed with non-transportation surtax funds are subject to immediate termination. However, you will be notified in writing before that occurs, and there are very few projects that that applies to. Funding encumbered or allocated for cycle one projects terminated will be reallocated to other aspects of the municipal surtax program. And then there's the section that talks about municipal capital project tails. The definition of a MCP tail relates to cycle three and cycle four projects that were programmed in either a planning or design phase, but did not have subsequent phases recommended for funding. The Third Amendment requires us to prioritize MCP tails between the years of 2030 and 2033. Next week, all of the municipal surtax points of contact will receive an email with the five-year plan 26 through 2030 that will include the new fifth year, FY 2030, with municipal capital project tails. Moving on to the grant match program in Article 4, Sections 4.5 and 4.6. So as many of you know, the overall transportation surtax 30-year program has a leverage goal of $2.5 billion over the 30 years. And what a leverage goal is our ability to access non-surtax funding, generally state and federal competitive or discretionary grants or appropriations, using the local dedicated source of revenue, which is the surtax's match. One of the ways that we want to expand our access to leverage is by creating a grant match program that municipalities can participate in. Annually, the county will advise the municipalities of the amount that's available in the GMP. For 2026, that amount is $13 million. And each municipality has the ability to apply for a maximum of $3 million. Each municipality seeking funding from the GMP will submit an application that we're going to look at over the next couple of slides. And then we would assess the application for its eligibility and communicate findings. I want to point out, there's nothing in the Third Amendment that defines the time frame for us to review GMP applications. So if there is a level of urgency on the part of a specific municipality, please let us know, and we will try to prioritize that review. Funding for the GMP is going to be made available on a first-come, first-served basis, subject to that review. And each municipality will only be eligible to apply for and receive GMP funding once per fiscal year. The applications will have to include specific information, which is outlined in Section 4.5 of the Third Amendment. Submission of supporting documentation is detailed in Section 4.5.1. If you'd like to join with some other municipalities, you can submit a collaborative grant application and request for match funding for that collaborative grant through the GMP. However, there will need to be a single lead applicant, because if you are awarded that grant or appropriation, the county will have to enter into a funding agreement with a single municipality. If you're approved for the GMP and you can prove that you've submitted the grant application or appropriation, the county is going to encumber the funding associated with that approval. Let's take a look quickly at the GMP application form. Every municipality should have received the GMP application fillable form on July 9th. You would have received it from map@broward.org. That's the highlighted address there on the top left. Type in and use the drop downs to complete the form. And once you've completed all of the information and the supplemental documentation, you can submit the completed form back to map@broward.org. Please do not print and scan the form. In March of each year, we'll assess the statuses for approved applications and cancel funding and unencumber the funding under specific circumstances that are listed there in the first bullet. The Third Amendment does require a municipality to provide us notice of the status of an application, whether it be an appropriation or a grant, within 30 days of notice so that we can act accordingly. Section 4.6 describes the process that we would use when funds become unencumbered to communicate with the Broward County City Managers Association. We can advise how much of the funding has become unencumbered, and there are a series of options that are available. We can either allow that funding to remain in the GMP. If the BCCMA does not respond within 60 days, the county administrator can determine how best to utilize that unencumbered funding towards other eligible municipal projects. Or perhaps the BCCMA wishes to use that unencumbered funding to conduct a competitive municipal capital project application process. So the timeline for the GMP for FY 2026, we will start accepting applications on August 18th. We will not accept any applications received before August 18th. If you have submitted an application before August 18th, you will have to resubmit beginning on August 18th. If you have questions about the GMP form or process once this workshop is complete, that even after the Q&A, you don't feel confident about submitting the GMP, or you have a unique circumstance that you'd like to discuss, please reach out to us. We're happy to discuss with you and assist you in whatever way we can. Moving on to the formula distribution for rehabilitation and maintenance projects, as well as microtransit funds. This is covered in Article 4, Section 4.3. Starting in fiscal year 2026, which is October 1, Eligible municipalities, so anyone who's participating in the surtax municipal program under the Third Amendment can have access to a formula-based amount of funding. And that formula-based amount is actually part of the Third Amendment. It's Exhibit B if you want to see exactly how much you can access in fiscal year 2026. The amount is derived from cost savings, and the formula is based on the number of centerline miles in your particular municipality. A municipality that has no community shuttle program and less than 1% of the total municipal centerline miles can opt to forego participation in any other surtax funded programs. That would require formal action on the part of the City Commission. And you can send that information to us. For more information about how that would work, please reference section 4.3.8. If you have an existing community shuttle program and you'd like to pursue a microtransit program, please refer to the limitations and requirements in section 4.3.6.1 to make sure you are compliant. For municipal rehabilitation and maintenance projects, however, you'll use a fillable form. You have not received those forms yet. We're going to show you a draft version, and we'll walk you through what we expect that form to look like. It will also be a fillable form that has drop downs. You'll be able to submit as many as 3 R&M projects per form, as well as request funding for the microtransit program if you're eligible to do so. The municipality is going to have to certify that your R&M projects are supplementing your budget, not supplanting it. And you can get more information about how that's defined in section 4.4.4 of the Third Amendment. We will just review that application when it's sent back to us for possible conflicts with any other projects in the area that we're aware of. And we will notify you if any are found. The Third Amendment also offers each participating municipality the option of deferring receipt of formula funding for up to 3 fiscal years, as long as you provided us with advance written notice. If you're looking to utilize formula funds for the microtransit, you will use the same fillable form that's created for rehabilitation and maintenance projects to request funds for microtransit. And you'll have to provide the name of the microtransit operator, a copy of your contract, and just follow all of the required information that's listed in the Third Amendment and also on the form that we provide. So let's take a look at what that form is expected to include. As you can see, it will be hard-coded with the municipality's name and the maximum amount of formula funding associated with fiscal year 2026. Then you'll have the opportunity to enter as many as 3 R&M projects per form, as well as your microtransit provider name, contract amount, and attachments. Again, please do not print and scan the form. Just save it and submit it to map@broward.org. Here's a little bit more information about the rehabilitation and maintenance and microtransit process as we expect it to roll out. And I wanted to mention that the time frames for this will be starting at hopefully the end of August. We'll get that form to you, and then you'll have 30 days to submit your applications. Again, I want to just reiterate that each application is going to allow you to submit as many as 3 rehabilitation and maintenance projects. We've gotten the question, what if we want to submit more than 3? You will just have to use another form for that. Every rehabilitation and maintenance project is still going to go under an individualized project funding agreement that we expect to have streamlined and expedited. R&M projects are expected to be completed within the fiscal year that you have received the award, unless your project funding agreement specifies a longer schedule. There will be reduced reporting requirements over those that we have currently under the Second Amendment for rehabilitation and maintenance projects. And microtransit funding will also be distributed using a funding agreement. So just a few miscellaneous items of note. Those of you that have capital projects that were funded with the surtax for planning, design, and construction, or perhaps just design and construction, may be aware of the ability to move funding between phases. That is still going to be allowed, especially for those of you that are currently under an agreement. And it will continue to be allowable under the Third Amendment, subject to prior written notice. That is in section 5.1.3. If you're interested in getting more details about how the formula funding distribution is expected to operate, that's section 4.3.7, as well as those of you that might be interested in the annual true up, that's addressed in Article 5. The county is allowed to deviate from rankings of projects that have previously been recommended for funding, accelerate or subordinate projects, no different than we have the ability to do under the Second Amendment, in very limited circumstances that are outlined in Section 5.2.4. And then other than Cycle 1 projects, the cancellation process for other projects that are not Cycle 1 is outlined in Section 5.3. And with that, we're going to move into the Q&A process. And I would just ask everyone, since we do have a very large number of participants for this particular workshop, please be patient with us. We're going to unmute the line and move through the questions as they come in. If you'll raise your hand, we'll identify you and you'll be able to ask your question.
There's an update, it's in the background, just in case. Wait, hold on.
Does anybody have any questions? If you could please raise your hand. Jacqueline?
Hi, this is the City of Parkland.
Hi.
Hi, Sherry Toop speaking. I'm with Jackie Waymire and Swande Johnson.
Hello.
I have a question. Hi, I have a question about the waiver. It says if it's approved by the elected body of the municipality, does that require a resolution?
So that small municipality waiver is only for cities that have less than 1% of all of the centerline miles in Broward County. And for a municipality that meets that criteria, yes, you would have to, the city commission would have to act through a resolution.
Within 30 days?
Correct.
And 30 days
well,
of?
No, you don't have, okay. No, you don't have to. The small municipality waiver program doesn't have a specific time limitation on it.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely. It is a permanent waiver, however.
Permanent throughout the entire surtax program or until there's a new ILA.
It would be until your county until your city commission acted otherwise, or we had a new interlocal agreement. Okay, Sherry, Jacqueline.
Yeah, it's Sherry again. Sherry Toops, City of Parkland. Hi. So we do have less than 1% of the centerline miles here in City of Parkland, and we do have a road replacement plan that we're trying to budget for out through the future. And we're interested to know if you can explain, if we waive, we understand we'll get an increase to our allocation. So trying to budget and forecast how much that would be helpful if you can give us an idea.
We do know exactly how much that would be. At least we know for fiscal year 2026. And Lena can get that over to you after this. But I just wanted to reiterate, as I mentioned earlier in the presentation, that amount is gonna fluctuate. It will not stay the same, especially not over the next 4 years. So, but we can talk offline and kind of walk you through what the enhancement should look like for you, at least in 2026.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you. And did we discuss the deferral process?
The deferral process is simple. All you all have to do, anyone who's interested in deferring, is provide us with written notice of your intent to defer, and you can defer for up to 3 years. So in your written notice, you could indicate that you want to defer for the entire 3 years, or you could just for 1 year, and then you can make a decision at the beginning of next fiscal year if you want to continue that deferral. It's really it's designed for maximum flexibility. That's really the point of the Third Amendment. And we can also talk offline about your options in that area if that's something you're interested in.
Okay, thank you.
Well, seeing no other hands up, I'm happy to give you all back an hour of your afternoon. And thank you again for your partnership, for your participation. For those of you who may not have felt comfortable asking questions during the workshop, completely understandable. We're here for you. Reach out by email or phone. We can schedule one-on-ones, virtual meetings. We can come to you, whatever is helpful. We want this to work. We appreciate your patience as we work through a new process, a lot of new processes, and look forward to making the program better. So thank you again.